A bit of an aim this morning. Being a teacher, I always have an aim in mind. And my learning objectives will not be displayed in Ofsted fashion. But you are all required to participate, otherwise I get an unsatisfactory, according to Ofsted. So we will be doing the full... No, not really. But we are going to have a bit of an interactive morning. Some of you are going to find that quite threatening, I think, and might feel a bit like, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to make myself vulnerable by doing some writing or doing some sitting still or thinking. And that's absolutely fine. We're all very different. We all learn and we all worship God in very different ways. But I think one of the reasons God gave us community is so that we can learn somehow to worship outside of our own comfort zone, because we can see other people doing it. And we just engage outside of our own comfort zone occasionally just to be a little bit more challenged. So I think it might be, if you're feeling a bit vulnerable, just give it a go anyway. You never know, it might change your life. That would be good, wouldn't it? Now then, if we move on just to the next slide, I was having a think, and I know sometimes when I'm trying to pray, I can never find the right words, and I'm sure some of you feel like that. You just cannot find the right words to pray. Sometimes you might have feelings that you think God finds a bit unacceptable. You know, you might think, oh, I can't really say that to God. You know, my father died before I was born, and I've thought of a lot of things I've wanted to say to God over the years about that. And when I was little, I thought that would be very unacceptable until my mum told me that he was a big God and he could cope with whatever it was I needed to say to him. So sometimes we have those feelings or emotions. Sometimes we have such grief, such anguish, such turmoil that we don't even know where God is in the midst of it all. Sometimes we just marvel at the mystery of life and how amazing it is that we're here. I know one of the things I say to my kids at school is, why are you actually here? And some bright spark always goes, because if I'm not, you'll put me in isolation. And I'm like, no, not that. Why are you actually here in this room right now? And it's not just to get an education, it's not just to be at church, but there is a reason why we are here, a bit more of an existential reason why God has got us together in this place. It says in Psalm 139 that, you know, he's ordained our days for us, so this day is one of the days he's picked for you. Why? I ponder that endlessly. I just find it quite blows my mind. Have your heart ever soared in praise to God? You think, wow, that's just amazing. What thanksgiving you want to give to God? Or have you ever been so disgusted by the injustice in the world and that it doesn't always go punished? Just so angry and so cross with the way that the world is. God can take all of that. And Psalms covers all of that. Now, I found this on the internet and I think it's rather funky, actually. I quite like it. This is Psalm Twister. And you do actually play Psalm Twister with hands and feet, the works. And basically the idea is somebody reads a psalm, and as you're listening to it, you have to decide which one of these words is being described, and you put your hand or your foot there. So it's supposed to be quite good fun. But you can plot different psalms according to the different hands and feet that you use. I am so going to be doing this tomorrow morning in my classroom because it just looks like such fun. But one of the words up there you probably won't actually find in the psalms at all. And I think they did it for a reason. I think one of the words you won't find up there is boredom. It's the one just at the top. You're not going to find boredom very often inside the Psalms because they are just a living, breathing book of being human. And human life, with all its ups and downs, all its joys and sorrows, is very rarely boring. I get bored, but it doesn't mean my life is boring. My mum always says that only boring people get bored, which I think is a bit harsh. But my life is rarely boring. It's just sometimes I tune out of it a bit. So if you're feeling very, very interactive when you get home, if you go to freshworship.org, you can download it and then you could make your own and you could play Psalm Twister. I can see so many of you going, no. Just no. No, not at all. No. Anyway, let's move on. When David introduced Psalms the other week, a lot of us were at minicab, so a lot of us weren't actually here. So we might have missed his introduction where he talked about a few different types of Psalms. I'm just going to very, very, very quickly recap for those people who weren't here. Three main areas, three main genres, if you like, of Psalm. We have a lament. Provides a structure for crisis, hurt, grief and despair. There's a lot of laments in the Psalms if you look through them. And it does provide a structure for people to be able to express how they're feeling. In a lot of Jewish culture, a lot of their emotions are attached to actions. If you ever went to a Jewish funeral, you'd be very surprised to see people with a hard-boiled egg when they got home. And it's a symbol of how hard it is to express your grief. It's like a closed-up egg very, very hard. So in Jewish culture, there's lots of symbolic things and lots of objects and things that display people's emotions. So to have a structure of a psalm so that people just outpour their feelings to God was quite important to the Jewish people at the time. But the best thing about a lament is they end up expressing trust in God, even though to that person there's very little evidence that he's actually doing anything at the time. If you read through some of them, you'll be like, where is God? Why is this happening? People are shooting arrows at me. Everything's really terrible, but I will trust in you. So it's an expression of trust when you can't actually see what you're trusting in. And in that, it's a huge step of faith. I quite often like the laments. Sometimes when I get a little bit, feel a little bit hard done by as well, I like to read those, and they make me feel a bit like I'm not the only one. But the most important bit is to read to the end, where it has the expression of trust and faith in God. Because without that, we're just stuck in our sorrow and in our hurting. We need to walk through and get to the end of that. This is going to fall off. Right, have a look at the next one. We've got thanksgiving. To praise God for something he has done. To offer thanksgiving in the form of worship. These are great psalms. They're all talking about everything is really, really good. They're not generally just, I'm sitting down in my kitchen and I'm feeling like the world's quite a nice place, so I'm going to thank God. They're quite a passionate, quite a vivid, full of imagery type psalm, which is just an outpouring of total excitement to God about how thankful people are for what God has done. They all acknowledge that God is the source of goodness in life. And that, for me, is a really nice summing up of these psalms, that God is the source of goodness in life. So we've got laments where we talk about our faith, and we've got thanksgiving where we talk about the source of goodness in life is God. So we can't escape the gifts that we're being given. We just move to the next one. We have got a hymn. And in a hymn, we just praise God because he is God. Now, I was brought up in a church with lots of hymns, and to me, a hymn means a song. And I know a lot of them, and I love them. I love the flow of them. I love the, you know, how they have 12 different songs, but they all have the same tune. I love that, because someone will start singing, and I've never heard the hymn in my mum's church before, but I'll know it because I know the tune. And a lot of these hymns become a bit like family favourites, and you know, you walk past a church and you think, oh, I know that, and it makes you feel at home. These hymns are very important because they generally reflect that we have called out to God and he has acted. And it's when we can just, a hymn of praise and just a, yeah, thanks. And we can just call out to God like that. But they reflect our sadness and they reflect our anger. It's sort of all in there in these hymns. Now, there are lots and lots of different types of psalms. And when I started writing this, I did realise it was becoming a bit like an A-level lesson, so I stopped. Because you could seriously go on forever. There are so many different types of psalms that we'd be here all day. But these three different types of lament, thanksgiving and hymn sum up what I think for a lot of us is our experience in daily life, in weekly life. These three aspects, they just sum up what we might go through from Monday to Sunday. You know, some of you might have quite level lives. Mine tends to go like this, up and down throughout the week. So I wanted to just recap on those three things before we had a look very quickly, because I'm not going to talk for long, about how psalms are written. Because the actual aim for this morning is that some of you, well, actually most of you, are going to try your hand at writing your own. And that's not as scary as it sounds, but you might find that actually you discover a part of yourself in worship to God that you didn't know was actually there. So we're going to have a go at writing our own. And to do that, we sort of thought that perhaps you might need a few little tips on how the actual original psalms were written and some of the little literary type things that people did to get them written down on paper. Now, the original psalms when they're first written were quite unlikely to have been written down. They were remembered. And Jews have a lot of oral tradition, knowledge that is passed on through mouth to mouth, through generation to generation. If you compared your memory now with the memory of somebody living 3,000 years ago in Palestine, your memory would be terrible in comparison. A lot of the Pharisees, a lot of the Jews at the time could recite huge amounts of scripture off the top of their head because that's the way that everything was passed on. And there, you know, when you play Chinese whispers and things get changed, it's very unlikely that it would have happened in the same way then because people were so used to this as the only real method of passing on knowledge that things were kept very much the same and were very, very well remembered. So they would use specific different literary features to help them to write these psalms that they would stay in people's memories. Now, they weren't just as a memory aid, but they were there to help as well. So we're going to have a quick look at the first one. We've got a thing called enclosure. It's great, isn't it? Enclosure. Enclosure is repetition of a significant word or phrase at the end that occurs at the beginning. For example, Psalm 148 starts with praise the Lord and ends with praise the Lord. So you've got this sort of nice, neat little bundle of this little word, praise the Lord, and everything in between. It's called an enclosure. The Psalms are poetry. They're rich in imagery, they're rich in simile, metaphor, alliteration, which we were trying to work out what that meant this morning. I couldn't remember. Anyone remember alliteration? Is that... Start with the same letter. Yeah, we had a bit of a discussion this morning what that was. Alliteration, start with the same letter. Lots of wordplay. That's all very common in Hebrew text. But it's the type of poetry that doesn't have regular meter. It's not like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't do that. And it doesn't particularly rhyme. In fact, it doesn't rhyme at all, to be honest. It's not poetry like you're probably taught in primary school where everything sort of flows. It's not like that. It's poetry because of the type of structures that are used to write it. And this thing of enclosure, starting and finishing with the same word, or a segment within a psalm starts and finishes with the same word, and then the next segment in a psalm starts and finishes with the same phrase, is quite a common thing that you'll see when you look through psalms. It happens quite a lot. Second one we've got is a thing called parallelism. And parallelism, I remember learning about this at college and then reading my Bible and being surprised by how much of it there actually is in there, where the second line or segment either echoes, contrasts, completes the previous line or segment. So just get your head around that for a second, what that means. For example, Psalm 104, verse 33 says, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. It's saying the same thing in a different way. Now, I said this to Nick yesterday, and he pointed out that he's been practicing this for years. And those of you who know my husband will know this to be true. Nick has been practicing for years saying the same thing in a slightly different way to me, and I just sit there going, yes. But this is what they do in Psalms. They'll say the same thing in a slightly different way afterwards. So we've got, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And you'll find this over and over again. Somebody's trying to kill me. My life is in danger. These things happen over and over again. And the point of it is to really drum the point home. It really gets it to you. And you're thinking, oh, they really do mean that. Sometimes it contrasts and it's saying something slightly different. But more commonly, it's echoing it or it completes it. And when it echoes it, the second line of it tends to be a lot more passionate and a lot more focused and a lot sharper. So when you've got, I will sing to the Lord all my life, to then say, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live, is a bolder statement. It's a sharper statement. So you can have that reflection of it. Okay, that's actually my favourite, I have to say. I love that. I love reading it and being able to find all the parallelisms in it. It makes me feel quite clever. The last one we've got are alphabetic acrostics, which is, it's got a bit of a long name. This is the last one. I only work in threes. It's the last one. Where one line or segment is devoted to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, hands up if you've ever read Psalm 119 from start to finish. Well done. Who's ever read the first bit and then gave up? Thanks. Well done, Steve. Yeah. Some people do. Now, Psalm 119, I remember when I first became a Christian, someone said to me, not the psalm to start with. And I was like, why? And they said, it's so long. Personally, I thought that meant it must have lots of good stuff in it, therefore it was worth reading, but I think backwards. But the reason it's so long is each section of Psalm 119 starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and eight lines of the psalm are devoted to each letter. So that's why it's so long. An easier example of this is Psalm 25. I would read it to you, but as I can't read Hebrew, it would be completely lost on us all, so I'm not going to. Psalm 25 has 22 verses to it, and each verse, when written in Hebrew, starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That could be to help people remember what comes next. It could be because the alphabet had just been invented and they were a bit excited. You know, who knows? Who knows why it was done that way? I quite like the second idea. It could be that. But it's a really nice way to write a psalm. And I know when at school I say to the children, we're going to do some poetry today. automatically, we did a poem on Cardinal Heenan the other week, because I work at Cardinal Heenan School. We did a poem on Cardinal Heenan, and I was expecting these great big stanzas of his life. He was pulling people out of bombed buildings in the Second World War, and I got Cardinal Heenan written down the side with one word for each letter. And this is what a lot of children do, and it's a very comforting way of writing a poem, because it's all there. You know, what your subject is down the side, and what you're writing about just goes across. Well, it's been going on for thousands of years, writing the Hebrew alphabet down the side and using each letter as the start of your next line. So it's a nice structure to follow. And by the way, Hebrew alphabet, for those who don't know, doesn't have any vowels. So you can't say, I cry out to the Lord, because there isn't an I. So you can't do that. So you have to be a bit more clever than that. Now then, if we just go on to the next one. Just got a little repetition of those three things there. Now, they're actually already printed out on a card on your table because you're going to need them. So we've printed them out and put them on the tables just to remind you of those three different ways of doing things. Because using these structures, we're going to try and write a psalm. Now, as I said, everyone's going to have a different response to this. At the Vine a few months ago, Alison Flowers did a thing on connecting with the Creator and all about being creative, and I sat there utterly terrified. I'm the person whose art teacher gave me less paint because she said it was a waste of resources. I'm utterly, utterly terrified of doing arty things because it never looks the same on paper as it does in my head. And then I feel disappointed. And when I spoke to Alison about this, she said, but to God, he sees what you intended. And for me, that was amazing. And it really changed my perception of what I now choose to call art. Lots of you wouldn't. But now I can quite confidently say, yeah, that's a piece of art that I did, and God knows that it was meant to look like a horse and it was like a jam sandwich, but God knows, and that's fine. So that sort of idea when we're writing psalms, you may be utterly terrified, but God knows what's on your heart. And sometimes it's worth a try of just writing something that little bit different. Now, the other thing is that some people won't know where to start. So as a bit of a backup plan, I was thinking some people who really don't know where to start because they don't even know what they feel or anything, perhaps pick your favourite psalm and try and rewrite it in your own words. Now, that is actually harder than it sounds, to try and write a psalm as applies to you, not just slotting your name in, but to rewrite each line as you understand it affecting your life. Now, that is quite a challenging thing to do. So some people might choose to do that. Now, we're going to look at three psalms in particular. If we just flick on. No, we're not going to look at three psalms in particular. They're not there. But we are going to watch this video, so we'll do that. That's fine.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, and you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, or a watch at night, yet you sweep away people in the sleep of death. They are like the grass, new in the morning. In the morning it is new, but by evening it is dried and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your doom. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes. Establish the work of our hands.
Back on. That is somebody's modern interpretation of Psalm 90. And they haven't written that one themselves, and I know it's slightly different. But when I saw that, I just thought that was absolutely amazing. And it shows that Psalms are just the stuff of life. They were written then, but they're still applicable to now. And the Psalms and the poems that we write now will be applicable now, and they'll be applicable in the future. And they all matter, and it's all about our relationship with God. So on your tables, you've got lots of different pens and paper, and I've printed out three Psalms in particular. One's a happy Psalm, one's an angry Psalm, and one's a sad Psalm. And you can look through those and sort of decide how you would like to express your own psalm to God. Would you like to write a thankful psalm? Have a look through it, see what sort of thing it says, and then have a go at your writing your own. Try using enclosure, try use parallelisms, try using alphabetic acrostics if you want to, and do the same for the others. And we're going to spend about 15 minutes just having a go at writing. There's more tables around if you need to move. You can really go wherever you want. We're going to play some music. We're going to have some pictures just to inspire you if you just want to sit and stare. It's okay. And if we don't finish them, it doesn't matter, because we have a backup plan. Okay?
Okay, well, I'm looking at some of you going there. It seems like you'd like another half an hour to do this, and unfortunately, we don't have that. If you haven't finished, that's okay. I hope you got the idea of this. I don't know, I've sort of found some stuff came fairly quickly. Some of you might have doodled around and got some stuff. But thanks very much to Maggie for that. That was really good. So please take these home, finish them off, share them in house group. In fact, that would be a really great thing to do. You know, but and it's something personal you're expressing to God. That's great.